They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. As he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. Another version would read that the snake bit his hand. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. I want to speak to you briefly on the subject matter. An anointing born out of adversity changes the world. The subtext is this, a little bit different. Come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. I want you to touch the neighbor you like the most and tell him, I'm on my way to Rome. Tell your other neighbor, the one that hates Rome, tell that neighbor, I'm on my way to Rome. You may be seated. I'm on my way to Rome. I'm on my way to Rome. You're going to get this in a second. It's all about context. You and your house are anointed for Rome. If you're taking any notes, you and your house are anointed for Rome, which means greater things. Your destiny is not based on what's in front of you. Your destiny is based on who's inside of you. I will repeat that. Your destiny is not based on what's in front of you. Your destiny is based on who's inside of you. Acts 27, when it was decided we would sail for Italy, for Rome, Paul and other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. Somebody shout Rome. Paul was on his way to Rome. We read the narrative of Acts chapter 28. We find Paul, just the outcome, the process of a shipwreck. He literally suffers a shipwreck, and he swam to the shoreline. He is drenched, completely soaking wet. And there's a fire pit already laid out by the inhabitants of Malta. Great hospitality. Paul comes along, adds on brushwood. In the brushwood was a snake. The moment the snake hit the fire, the snake jumped out, grabbed a hold of Paul's hand. Another version would read, bit his hand. Paul takes the snake, shakes it off, puts it back in the fire, and inevitably he ends up going to Rome. The question is, why was Paul on his way to Rome? Paul was on his way to Rome not for a mani-pedi, not for a recital, not for a gathering of the Road to Damascus Association. He was on his way to Rome because four chapters prior, God gave Paul his biggest assignment. Acts 23, 11. That night, the Lord appeared to Paul and said, be encouraged, Paul. As you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news, the gospel, in Rome as well. Paul was on his way to Rome to preach the good news on the biggest stage of the ancient world. Paul was on his way to Rome to change the world with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. Metro Life, listen, we wouldn't be here right now, arguably. That trip changed world history. He took the gospel to the most important city on the most important platform. He released the gospel. The Gentiles exploded, and here we are in southern Florida today in 2023 because Paul made it to Rome with the gospel of Jesus. What does that mean? I need you to get ready. I don't care what the detractors say, naysayers, what you read in surveys. We are about to see the gospel of the risen Savior reach every nation, every ethnicity, every generation, and every demographic without exception. We are about to see the good news of Jesus reach more people than ever before. You can't stop God. Isaiah 14:27. I, the Lord of hosts, have planned it. Who can stop me now? We're going to see people come to Jesus like never before. Matthew 24:14. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. The nations will hear it. Then the end will come. God is up to something. This year has been a different year. I'm going to prove it to you. Let me substantiate it. God, this year kicked off with what? Monday Night Football, Damar Hamlin dies on national television. A football player dies on national television. Millions viewing it. He dies. Both teams come together, start praying. People all around the world start praying. And all of a sudden, the young man who was dead, came back to life. Not my wording, Damar Hamlin said he came back to life because God resurrected him. The very next day on ESPN, we have a broadcaster. Google this, please. The broadcaster on ESPN right there is analyzing what took place on Monday. And he comes back and he looks in the camera and says, here's the reporter, ESPN guy. And he's looking into the camera going, can you believe what happened yesterday? Can you believe it? Damar Hamlin, he died. He died. And people got together and they prayed and he came back to life. He kept on going. Can you believe what happened? He died. People prayed. He came back to life. He was dead. And they were trying to analyze. He goes, the point is, he was dead. Certifiably dead. The doctors all agreed he was dead. He was completely dead. He was dead. And people prayed and he came back to life. But he was dead. He was dead. He was completely dead. Guys, he was dead. And people prayed and he came back to life. And then he looks at the camera and says, I think we should pray. Look at it. And then everyone around goes, all right. He goes, I don't even know if this is right, but we should do this. And he begins to pray live on ESPN. We've never been down this road before. It's never happened before. He starts praying. And in the middle of his prayer, he says, we serve the God that has the power to heal. The God that has the power to do. Anybody serve that God? Anybody worship that God? Anybody here believe that if God did it for him, he can do it for your family, for your marriage, for your health, for your destiny, for your finances, for your calling? The very next thing that happens, I'm not just, again, Google this, please. The very next thing, some city in Kentucky, Asbury, all of a sudden, the same identical demographic deemed as the most non-Christian in American history, the one everyone's written off as the generation that will not embrace Jesus, will not follow Jesus. It seems that God never got the memo. And all of a sudden, in Asbury, Kentucky, in the school, Asbury University, here comes the Holy Spirit and says, aha. What demographic will not serve me? What demographic supposedly will not experience my glory and my touch? Let me show you what I can do. He touches a school, and a bunch of 18 to 21-year-olds all of a sudden can't stop praying, can't stop reading God's word, can't stop repenting of sin, can't stop calling out the name of Jesus. People start traveling all over the world to Asbury, Kentucky, because the presence of God is there. All of a sudden in Baylor University in Texas, the Holy Spirit shows up. In universities all across America, the Holy Spirit shows up, not just in Christian, but in secular universities. All of a sudden, the power of God shows up. What does that mean? Let not your heart be troubled. We are about to see the glory of Jesus fill the nations.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest-growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
Right after that, my friend Greg Laurie, a great pastor from SoCal, he comes out of a movie called The Jesus Revolution. Man, it was supposed to have made $7 million in box office receipts. It's made close to $60 million. In addition to that, a few weeks ago, here's Greg again in Pirates Cove in OC, Orange County, baptizing over 4,000 brand new converts in the name of Jesus. Last point, Right after that, there's a meeting in Amsterdam that I was invited to by the grace of God. 6,000 key pastors and leaders, influencers, to sign a contract. And we did. We gathered in Amsterdam, and we were there. First week of June, here's the contract. By 2033, the 2,000-year anniversary of the birth of the church, of course, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In 2033, by 2033, every single person on the planet will hear a viable presentation of the gospel. Let me explain that. Currently, 3.8 billion people have never received a viable presentation of the gospel. I know this is going to sound counterintuitive in a world of technology and the internet, but there are millions, hundreds of millions who have never even heard the name of Jesus mentioned because their countries restrict. They understand there's power in that name. So if they want to control you, they limit access to that name. Because in Jesus, you're completely free, mind, body, soul, and spirit. So we got together and we signed this contract and we declared all of a sudden that every single person will receive. Now, we're not saying anyone's going to get saved. We're saying everyone will hear the gospel of Jesus. They will hear it. So let's just do this real quick. Lift up your hand. Repeat after me. I decree and declare that in the next 12 months, more people will come to Jesus through my testimony, my calling, my mantle of anointing that all the previous years combined. If you believe what you just prayed and declared, give him the best praise you've given him. Are you ready to see your entire family saved? Are you ready to see all of your followers saved? Are you ready to see all of your clients saved? Are you ready to... More people will be saved than ever before. Listen, are we streaming? Muslim nations will hear the gospel. Communist nations will hear the gospel. Socialist nations will hear the gospel. Woke nations will hear the gospel. Millennials, Generation Z, Generation, we are streaming. Every letter of the alphabet will hear the gospel of Jesus. Did you hear that? I want to be clear. Every letter will hear the gospel. AARP, are you down with OPP? LGBTQ+, every letter of the alphabet will hear that Jesus saves, that Jesus delivers, that Jesus heals, and he's coming back again. Somebody prays like you believe it and worship like you believe it. If you're not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16, you believe that it's the power of God unto salvation. Repeat after me, come hell or high water, I'm on my way to Rome. So to go to Rome means to fulfill your God-ordained assignment, your God-ordained purpose, to fulfill what God has ordained you to be and fulfill. That's what Rome represents, your destiny, here on earth. Not just going to heaven when you die or when the Lord returns, but you fulfilling your God-ordained purpose, Psalm 138, verse 8, you fulfilling your purpose here on this planet. That's your Rome. We all have a Rome. We all have an assignment. You're not alive just to occupy space. You're not a styrofoam cup. You have purpose. You have divine purpose. Believe it or not, you have purpose. Not just to, like, you know, and develop and get educated and get married and have a relationship and have kids. That's all beautiful. But there's an assignment for you and for your family. And the more that assignment is Rome, that through your testimony, through everything that you accomplish for him, everything we do in the name of Jesus, Colossians 3:17. Everything must be for the glory of Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:31. But everything God permits you to occupy, it's for his glory. And to be transferred to the next generation, we all have a Rome. So here's Paul, on his way to Rome, and he is on his way to Rome, not on a Norwegian cruise line, Carnival Cruise, Celebrity X, Royal Caribbean, no. Not even for the bougie people, the Viking cruise line. Not even that. Not even that. He is what? On a prison ship. He gets on a ship to go to Rome. Now he's there, Acts 27. And the Bible says that in the middle of it, a nor'easter hits. A de facto hurricane. Big storm. And all of a sudden, the ship is battered around with the winds and the waves, and it's slapped around like a cheap piñata. Sorry, that's slightly racist. Slapped around like, just slapped around. And it's battered, and it's battered, and it's battered. And then the Bible says this, crazy, verses 15 through 18. Please read it, Acts 27. It says that they decided, the powers that be, that it would be better served to be driven by the storm. Read it. We can't fight the storm, hence we're going to let the storm drive us. We are all driven people. We are all driven. We're either driven by the past or the future, by the pathetic or the prophetic, by problems or promises, by nightmares or dreams, by the flesh or the spirit, by Google searches or godly searches. We're either driven by drama or by destiny, by trauma or testimony. Ask your neighbor nicely, what drives you? Are you driven by the praise of others? Are you driven by the criticism as it pertains to others' opinions of you? Here it is. If their praise did not make you, their criticism cannot break you. We even have too many Christians that spend more time reacting to what comes from hell rather than what comes from heaven. We have too many believers driven by the winds of cancel culture, ideologies, and social constructs that are counterintuitive to the Word and the Spirit of God. Too many believers driven by opinions and feelings instead of being driven by truth and love. That's the reality. Here's what you need to know if you're taking any notes. You and your house are anointed for the storm. The storm does not define you. The storm reveals who you really are. What drives you? What drives you? What motivates you? What motivates you? It's the power of not just being driven. Right now, even in the church, we're being driven by so many things from the outside world. Let me explain. I went through something this year. Interesting story. At the end of last year, my wife and I, we wrapped up a series in 2 Kings chapter 4 about the Shunammite woman and the prophet Elisha. We built a door on the stage, and we walked through the door together. Right after we walked through that door, we received a call. Like, it couldn't have been a coincidence. The call came from a major ministry in Northern California. For ethical purposes, I'm just going to refrain from giving you the name. But a very prominent ministry in Northern California lost 1,500 people plus during COVID. And they ended up with 700 people in an auditorium that fits 3,120. They have three auditoriums, 3,100, one that fits 1,018, and the third one close to 300. It's a property of close to 80 acres on the highway frontage, Sacramento, California, and it's pretty amazing property. The worth of the property would be close anywhere between $75 and $80 million appraised. And we receive a call from the leadership, Pastor Sam, would you have any interest in merging your ministry of our ministry and taking over? And we are in desperate need of a building because our church, by the grace of God, grew. And we continue to see God just send more people. So we were in desperate need. We were looking already put our property up for sale. So we went like, this is the answered prayer. So we debrief with my team and we have our preliminary meetings and everybody got to have, you know, everybody with their Starbucks cup and all that. We met and we all met, what are we doing? All right. So we had preliminary meetings with their team. Every preliminary meeting, boom, boom, boom. All right, it's time to formalize this. Go into the first formal meeting. They bring their board members, four of them. I bring four of my board members, five including yours truly. We go in there. We debrief beforehand. First formal meeting, this is it. So we walk in there. And I'm thinking, we walk in, I'm thinking, here are questions, fiduciary governance, integration of systems, questions about polity and ethos and cultural climate of churches, merging programs, who will be dismissed, all that. And I'm thinking, maybe they're even going to ask, like, will you have a Spanish-speaking service, a Slavic-speaking service? Maybe they'll even ask, why do you preach so fast? All these questions are legitimate questions to ask. They should be asked. So I'm thinking, all right, go in there, Sam. You're prepared. My board chair's here. We're boom. And the guy looks at me. We're talking about what drives you here. Watch this. Here it is. First question. I'm here. Pastor Sam, we want to begin with this question. I'm thinking, all right, theological, eschatology, missiology, other words that I just find in Google and whatever, hooked on phonics. And go. First question. Yeah. Ready for the question? Yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead. Pastor Sam, Our church here, we lean left. We want to know, where do you lean? This is witnessed by people on both sides, by the way. So, first of all, as you may not know, I'm a part-time comedian. I am. That's just by where I was born, a comedian. Immediately, my comedic mind said, you have enough material for the next 3 years. You're good. I'm covered. And then the second thing that happened is both a sign and a wonder. Nothing came out of my mouth. So help me, this is me. Watch, which is a rare thing. Pastor Sam, where do you live? Where do you live? And I went. Like if you ate bad mofongo or something, right? And I'm going like, and the Holy Spirit's telling me, answer him. I didn't want to. I didn't. I was fighting with the Lord. Answer him. I didn't want to. Because if I would answer what the Lord was telling me to answer, we were going to lose his property. The Lord said, answer him. So reluctantly, I had no choice because Holy Spirit always wins. And I went, put my head up and went, sir, with great due deference, at our church, we don't lean. We stand. We stand. We stand, sir. We stand on the word of God. We stand on the finished work of Christ. We don't lean left and we don't lean right. We just stand. Everything the Bible calls holy, we call holy. Everything the Bible calls sin, we call sin. We need a church. Oh, we don't need more Christians and churches to lean. I'm tired of seeing churches that lean left or lean right. We don't need churches to lean. We need believers to stand in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout with me, I don't lean. I stand. Tell your neighbor, I don't lean. I stand. I stand. I stand. I want to prophesy. We're about to see a church that stops leaning. And we're about to see a church in America that'll get up and start standing. All the standing people, lift up your hands. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Stop leaning. Start standing. Stand up for biblical truth. Stand up for righteousness and justice. I get full of righteous indignation, but I'm in California, so I live this, no joke. Stand up for our children. I said stand up for our children. Stand up for our children. Stand up for our children. Stand up for holy sexuality. Stand up for the family. Stand up for godliness. Stand up for life, for religious liberty, for biblical justice, for racial unity. Stand up for the gospel. Oh, and don't get upset with me. Don't just stand inside the church. Stand up in the school board meeting. Stand up in the middle of... Somebody shout, I don't lean. I stand. Are there any standing believers on their way to Rome here in Metro Life? All the standing people, lift up your hands. We're going to land right now. We're going to land. Ephesians 6:13, right there. Stand where you are standing. Put on the full armor of God that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to... With your hands raised. We're about to see a church rise up, not one driven by political correctness, comfortability, lukewarmness, or apathy, but one driven by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be driven by the storms. We're not going to be driven by the nuance of ideology, worldviews that emerge in every respective generation. We will be driven by the truth of God's word. understand.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.